despite the protests of his aching limbs.
Well, what do you make of that? Who lit fire under his ass?
Shh, crazy outlanders.
As though that was all the answer that was needed. Ryan outlined the situation to his party. JB blew out his cheeks and pushed his fedora back on his head.
Well, I guess you're not chilled yet, so that's a start.
Yeah, John, I find that really reassuring.
He's right. We're here together, and we know what we're walking into later. If it's some kind of mock trial and then a chilling, at least we can make a fight of it.
I'll find Dean. Get out first.
Doc smiled at Jack's comment.
Always ask the impossible and expect the unexpected. We do not even know where he is.
But even as he said this, they all noticed Jack, on sentry duty, suddenly stiffen. The albino turned to them, a rare smile cracking his scarred white face.
Always expect unexpected.
He disappeared around the curtain, returning a few moments later supporting an exhausted Dean, who had run all the way despite the aches and strains of his muscles.
Dean!
Christy aided Ryan in seating the youth on the edge of the bed. Mildred immediately stripped him to the waist to stem the bleeding from some of the deeper scratches on his back, which had soaked the back of his shirt in blood.
God in heaven, boy, what have you done to yourself?
Listen.
Dean's head suddenly started swimming with exhaustion, now that he had reached relative safety and was no longer moving solely on adrenaline. He had to concentrate on every word, forcing them out.
Listen. You were right, Mildred. Jenna, she has old tech. And these muties that she's made, she wants...
A master race. As ever with these kinds of people, they never learn from history. They just keep making the same mistakes on an endless loop.
Yeah, right, Doc, but saying it doesn't help now. Let Dean finish. We don't have much time.
Dean gasped out what had happened to him.
You think that both her and Harvey will use the meat to get us chilled and maybe try and get Alien out of the way as well? Say he's weak for letting us in?
Ryan frowned.
Alien's a good man, and popular. That'd be hard for them unless they've got the whole of the Sec Force behind them, and I doubt that from what I've seen.
Yeah, second that.
JB cut to the heart of the matter.
So, we need a game plan. We gotta get our asses out of here and keep our backs covered as we go.
Ryan nodded, but was cut short from speaking by the voice of Blake behind him.
Time for the meet. Harv sent us, cause he don't trust you. Sorry we gotta do this.
He and Downey, blasters in hand, stood at the entrance to the unit, both looking embarrassed by their appointed task. As the drapes opened, Dean had reacted quickly, sliding off the bed so that he was sheltered from view. Downey and Blake wouldn't be expecting to find him, so would not search the unit if he wasn't with the party that left. He had to hope that they hadn't heard him or glanced at him when they entered. Doc, nearest to the youngster, pulled a blanket from the bed, catching the bottom hem with the toe of his boot, and dragging it down so that Dean was covered. No one else noticed.
It is a pity we did not get that chance to look for young Dean, and that the lad seems destined to stay lost.
The inference was clear. No one spoke of Dean as they assembled in silence, then followed the sec men from the unit and on the journey to the main hall. There was nothing to be said that wouldn't give clues as to any possible course of action. It would be every man for himself, staying triple red alert. It wouldn't be the first time they'd been in such a situation. The one thing that did puzzle them was that the Sekmen had made no attempt to take their weapons. Still armed, it would have been easy for them to overpower Blake and Downey and try to effect their escape. The problem with that being that if the Sekmen had been sent, it wouldn't be beyond Harvey to set up Sek parties to ambush them if they attempted it. At least dealing with Alien, they had some chance of reasoning with him. Back in the sleeping unit, Dean waited until the footsteps had receded into the distance before emerging from behind the bed. While he was there, he unholstered his Browning high power and checked that it was fully loaded. He was thankful for Jenna and Harvey's confidence in the restraints on the operating table. They deemed it unnecessary to remove the blaster from the carelessly discarded pile of clothing. He slipped the blaster back to its place of concealment, fingers lingering on it to feel the position of the butt and grip, mentally mapping it for when it was necessary. Dean then crossed the floor and drew back the drape. They had disappeared around a bend in the tunnel, but he knew the route to the main hall, so it wasn't necessary to keep them in sight. He followed at a pace he calculated from their speed on leaving would keep him equidistant from them until he reached the main hall himself. What he would do when he got there, he wasn't sure. He would have to assess the situation as he found it. Dean kept his head down and tried to blend in with his surroundings. He was aware from the reception he'd received when Aunt and Dee had helped him from the ventilation duct that his disappearance had been well noted, and that there had been a search for him. Obviously, word of his escape hadn't yet reached the ears of the Sekhmen who had come to escort his companions. He hoped that it hadn't had time to spread, and that he could remain fairly anonymous. The Ville seemed to be almost empty as he made his way to the main hall. This was good for Dean, as it allowed him to pass unnoticed. However, he did find the fact that his father and companions would be facing the whole of Ra a cause for concern. As he neared the hall itself, there was a swell of sound as the muttered conversations of the whole Ville gathered in one room hit him. The sound was too overlapping and confusing for Dean to make out anything in particular, but from snatches that could be discerned, he gleaned that not even the Ville dwellers themselves knew what this was about. Whether that was a hopeful sign, he didn't even want to consider. He reached the entrance to the hall, which was unguarded on the outside. Beyond the opening, he could see the mass of people. His father and friends, Blake and Downey, and even the Baron himself were lost to view, somewhere in the center of the vast room, surrounded by the residents of Ra. Two Sekhmen stood on the inside of the entrance, their backs to him. Like everyone else, they seemed more interested in what was about to transpire than in keeping watch. Good. Dean approached the entrance, light-footed so as not to give them cause to turn around. His entrance was aided by a sudden call to silence from Harvey. Everyone, even the Sek guards, suddenly craned forward, their attention so focused on what was happening in front of them that they ignored the young man pushing into their midst, unwilling to take their eyes from the spectacle in front of them. The Outlanders stood in a group, flanked by Blake and Downey, in the center of the hall. The inhabitants of Ra had formed a circle around them, and were studying them with interest, appearing to have little idea as to what was occurring.
I wish everyone wasn't staring so hard.
Why, John, don't tell me you're shy.
Jack turned to Blake.
Why?
The small sec man looked uncomfortable.
Not my choice, Jack. Harvey Steel boss, and he says the word came from Alien. He didn't tell Downey or me what it was about. But, maybe you know?
Maybe believe if I tell, but maybe not most.
Thing is, it can't be that bad, because Harv never said we should disarm you. In fact, he was sure that we shouldn't. A most interesting stratagem.
Meaning?
Work it out for yourself, regarding our earlier conversation. It is not, perhaps, for the general consumption.
Christie's hair curled tight to her neck. She had a good idea what Doc meant, and knew that it caught them even more than ever between that rock and that hard place. Harvey wanted to set them up and chill them in a firefight, giving himself ample time and opportunity to dispose of the Baron in a seemingly accidental manner. The one thing they had in their favor was Dean. It seemed more than likely that Harvey didn't know he was loose, or if he did, was unaware that he had returned to the group, and the youngster was somewhere in Ra. Maybe, she thought as she scanned the puzzled and not yet hostile faces of the Ra dwellers, even somewhere in this hall. Her train of thought was interrupted by the shrill yell of Harvey's voice as he pushed through, followed by Alien and Jenna.
Hey! Move over there! We're gonna begin, so shut up!
Behind him, the Baron was grim-faced. Jenna found it hard to hide a sly smile, and Christie recoiled at the psychic wave that hit her when their eyes locked. It was showtime. Dean had been moving through the crowd, keeping his head down so that he wouldn't be recognized, but had been brought up short by the sound of Harvey's voice. Looking up, he saw the Sek Chief, the Baron and Jenna, enter the circle in the center of the hall. He saw the expression on the woman's face and felt his stomach flip. Trouble was coming now. Harvey addressed the crowd.
Okay, people. You're probably wondering why you're here and what this is about. Well, these people have betrayed us. Alien wants to talk to y'all about it.
The Sek Chief stood back, looking pleased with himself, as the Baron stepped forward.
My friends, I have come to seek a consensus from you. As you are aware, Ryan Carter and his fellow travelers have aided us considerably in our recent and most vital struggles against Sopfogel. Indeed, without them our task would have been much harder. And yet, I have discovered that behind our backs, Ryan Carter has been plotting to overthrow me and assume control of Ra.
A ripple of surprise and shock spread through the crowd. Even among the companions, there was surprise at the charge itself. Dean kept his shot down and used the ripple as a means to move forward a little more, nearer to the center.
Shortly after, our